Hello, and welcome to the No Good Poetry Podcast. Each week we talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly of poetry. This is episode 5.
With?
Joseph Bienvenu and...
Joseph Makos.
This is the good, bad, and the ugly, isn't it? Some ugly shit out there, kids. Let's make the world safer for poetry.
Alright, so,
We have a special... We have a super special thing.
This is a special episode. So last weekend was the New Orleans Poetry Festival,
and
we spent a lot of time recording at it. And in fact, I think next week we're gonna have an interview with the two founders of the festival, Bill Lavender and Megan Burns. I think you probably agree with this. I mean, probably some of the more interesting people we ran into the festival.
Yes, we ran into some Uruguayan Dadas, and that's going to be...
I didn't even know Dada was a big thing in Uruguay, but apparently...
It is through European influences on those ports and the sort of literature that was coming through the sailors and the port and the Europeans that were coming and doing business and, you know, colonizing, I guess.
Yeah,
you know?
it makes sense.
But this is in modern times. So this is, I guess you could say that there's a certain... colonization through literature as well, right? So these guys are sort of in some, like...
It's another universe.
Out of their
land
of, you know, of, like, they've seen stuff that we could never imagine and dream of, and they came to New Orleans to do this, you know, festival, and, you know, Bill had gone down to the festival there.
Yeah, yeah.
Last year, I believe, right?
And I guess Mark Statman had met them before.
So they're so they bring these guys
Martin's
up here,
book,
and Martin is has a book out on Diogos. Never Made in America.
And we will put a link to that for sure on the show notes. And part of what you're gonna hear is him reading from his book. We don't have, like, clear translations of it, and maybe that's for the best. Like, you can, some things, I think, are a little bit translated, but some of it it's all about the performance for them, I think, so maybe it's kind of better that it's not always fully translated. You can just kind of experience it.
And we have a few, we also have Luis Bravo on, and Luis and Martin do a lot of volleying and back and forth, and, you know, playing with the white space of the room that we had to record. And we also have a nice sort of telephone game going between, refereed by Jesse Lee Kercheval.
Doing a little translating for us there.
Yeah, a little translating, which was great to have her to be able to do that live with us. It was really a fun experience.
It really was. So we are going to have more from the New Orleans Poetry Festival, but we just couldn't resist letting this be its own standalone. So here you go.
We're talking about Dada right now.
We can. It's free form.
It's free form.
Introducción
and then
puede hablar de su poesía porque ya se está acá, pero el punto es para llegar como para hablar de estado de Dada en su aniversario, su 100 años.
Okay, so here we are at the New Orleans Poetry Fest 2017, and we have some special guests with us. We have Luis Bravo, and we have Martin Barea Matos, and we have our translator,
Jesse Lee Kercheval.
Thank you very much for being here. And we're going to open this up. It's a very free-form episode. We're excited to let this sort of take its course and talk about new works and what brought you here to New Orleans, what attracted you here to the fest, and then we can get into some other mischief later on.
Okay.
And as another note, we can make this as trilingual or bilingual as we want.
Bueno.
Okay, no rules.
Eso sería mejor. Could be better for me to speak in Spanish, but I'm going to torture you speaking in English, too. That's right?
Nice and slow.
All right, nice and slow. We are here to present an anthology.
We are here?
We are here. To present an anthology, the name, title, Earth, Water and Sky. This is an anthology, a bilingual anthology from the poets from the River Plate, around the topic of the medio ambiente.
Environment.
We are also here because Jesse Lee Curtival was the translator and the editor of that book, with Sara's Institute. You are going to explain what Sara's
Institute is. It's an environmental institute in Uruguay, the South American Institute for Resilience and Sustainability Studies, which is so long they call themselves Instituto Sara's. And they sponsored the anthology in South America. It was published there with poems by Luis Bravo and Martín María Matos. And now it's been published in New Orleans by Dialogos Books.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And
fantastic.
Like five or more poets from the River Plate.
Which is Argentina and Uruguay.
Argentina and okay. Uruguay. Besides that, we're going to read different things.
Sure.
About, our own works. And Martin is, presenting this great Never Made in America by bilingual, translated by Mark Stedman.
And it is from Lavender Inc., the collection Dialogos book.
All right.
Yeah.
So it also, too, has just been published by Dialogos Books, Lavender Inc., Dialogos Books, which is a New Orleans publisher by Bill Lavender. And so there are really two books that came out, and Martin's here with the beautiful yellow cover, which no one can see on a podcast, is hot off the press.
We'll put images up of everything.
Okay.
Trabalenguas. Consumismo. Trabalenguas. Consumismo. Trabalenguas. Consumismo. Tango. Twister. Consumism. Communism. Lycanism. Communism. Lycanism. With the same economism.
Dada turns 100 years old, and instead of blowing the candles, we light them up. We open up the soundscape from the small Uruguayan landscape, knowing it's uncommon for Latin American poets to lend their voices to phonic, abstract, asemantic, and ludic poetics like Dada. Dada made its revulsive, joyous, and still flowing appearance on the stage on the Cabaret Voltaire, a pub in Zurich, in 1916. There, Hugo Ball christened and first performed his phonic poems. We know that. We, Juan Ángel Italiano and Luis Bravo endowed the emblematic caravan, with two voices in asymmetrical echoes, like
estamos aquí. Is anybody there?
Echoes like
Houston, we had a poem.
Yeah.
Houston, we had a poem. Environment, free circus, market of dawn.
Holy Fanto Bambla, oh Fali Bambla.
Jolly Fanto Bambla, oh Jolly Fambla.
Grog, you're back. Mm.
Idem fa habla horem.
Ehiha goramen.
Egiga goramen.
Igo bloiko rusula.
Igo bloiko rusula.
Holaka. Holala.
Holaka. Holala.
Alogo.
Alogo bum.
Blago. Blago.
Blago boom. Blago boom.
Bos. Fataka.
Bosso fataka.
Shampa. Wool.
Shampa gula gusa o lobo.
Tata. Gorem.
Gold, honor, I give you my word, I give you my bond, I return the silence on the possibility of being betrayed. You give me your word, another bond and silence. I have no option, I give my word. La E resultó. Economía del lenguaje. La ecuación al sur y norte del Ecuador. La edad del Edén. La educación en efecto, efímera. El ego, el eje. Ejemplo, el ejercicio. El elástico, electo, como la electricidad. Electrodoméstico, elefante elegante, elemental. Ella. Emancipada, embarazada como un emblema. Ella, emancipada, embarazada como un emblema.
Microbio virgen. Dada está en contra de la carestía de la vida. Dada, sociedad anónima para la explotación de las ideas. Dada tiene 391 actitudes y colores diferentes según el sexo del presidente. Se transforma, grita, pesca con caña, dice al mismo tiempo lo contrario. Dada es el camaleón del cambio rápido e interesado. Dada está en contra del futuro. Dada está muerto. Dada es idiota. Viva Dada. Dada no es una escuela literaria.
So last year with Italiano, we record this 100 Dada Passo de los Trovos with 22 tracks from Kurt Schwitters, Tristan Tzara, Hugh Ball, and I think there's some Gianco too, and some Latin American poets that we think they were working on Dada trail, like Vallejo, Vicente Huidobro, and Oliverio Girondo from Argentina, Chile, and Peru. So this record is online in 15 sites all over the world right now.
Nice.
Yeah. I'll give you the link if you want.
For sure. Yeah. This is, you know, where we're at now. I told you a little earlier, but I went on a Dada log for 30 days, and I went to, I flew into Amsterdam, and I went to 7 Dada exhibitions
right.
for the 100th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
I went to 7 different print shops and printed Dada broadsides, and performed at the Cabaret Voltaire on the 7th of March last year.
That's great.
And now the... this is not hubris. I'm just telling you as a frame of reference.
It sounds great.
The work, the prints, are all now traveling to 15 different sites all around Europe.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Dadaist 100 for it's all letterpress printers that are working in the realm of Dada. But one thing, and I'm saying this to segue over, one thing is I show up in Europe, hanging out with Europeans printing in these print shops. And they're like, you're an American and you're interested in Dada? Come and have a coffee. Let's talk more. Because it seems that, you know, that in the German mind, Dada is still a way of life.
Mm-hmm.
It's still very real to them. It's still a very specific thing. And I think that sometimes, a lot of times, when Americans or maybe Western thought... is that a lot of people latch on to the visual aspect of Dada, the aesthetic of the Dada aesthetic, like the punk rock album cover of the Sex Pistols, which is the Dada aesthetic,
mm-hmm.
and they don't go any deeper. They don't dig deeper to understand the political importance and origins of the overturning of the bourgeois. Like the idea of Dada is like actually like Schwitters was like taking a spray bottle and walking around with stickers and putting them on church windows. Like, he was the first punk rock.
Mm-hmm.
Even the idea of putting a sticker on a window and it says, join Dada, you know, and Zara's, a lady who ran the apartment building, hated Schwitters because he kept putting these stickers on the windows of the building, you know. And that, but that's where it comes from, you know, the origination of, you know, even... you know Emmy Hennings, she was a passport forger. You know Hugo Ball's girlfriend? She forged passports to get them into Zurich in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And that's art. She was a real artist that she could take and forge the passports to get them in there in the first place. You know, to get them through the borders, to get them in. And that was a real special thing that happened there in Zurich in 1916. You know... Lenin, you know, Lenin was planning the revolution just 5 blocks away. You know, Lenin had an apartment in Zurich in 1916 when the Dadas were there at the exact same time. It was a really special thing. So now the Cabaret Voltaire is basically a bar. There's a museum in the basement, but the upstairs it's kind of just like a bar, and they have a little performances and things for the 100th. They did a big, huge thing for the 100th anniversary, but. Getting back to the idea of this, you know, it's you're living proof that it's still alive and it's permeated different cultures in different ways. Do you see Dada living on for another 100 years?
Yes, I think Dada is just born 100 years after its beginning. I wrote a prologue for this record. I would like to Jesse Lee to read some part of it, talking about what you are talking about.
Please.
But it's in, you know, I think she's going to read it better than me in English.
True, Dada also partakes in nothingness, inasmuch as it parodies the swollen rhetoric of mere social market present in all ages. It was never... forgiven for stripping the fine arts and literature of their lavish attire, neither for crushing the anti-war, anti-art, anti-everything that was not anti-solemn, even anti-Dada, amid a war of false nationalisms. The canons of literary criticism, it was unforgivable for it to have configured the independence of the phonic value as poetic matter, derailed from mere verbal signification, fusing the meanings with other artistic languages and new technologies. Paradoxically, a radical faith in the creativity of the voice and the written word without limitations imposed by any order outside the poetic composition makes them look like mere nihilists. Dada's aesthetic consciousness turned his manifestos into ironic games for the first time. Such imprint inspired us to create locutions of rare vocalization for those texts, which, like shards, we fired from poem to poem throughout the CD, the one that Luis Bravo was talking about. If someone were to listen to the Paso de los Trovos like before, that is in sequential order, they would hear the poems interspersed with argumentative passages. These contain fragments of Zara's manifestos, annotations from Ball's diary, reflections of Richter, militant mandates of German Dadaism, a sarcastic description of Olvero Hirango, that pioneer of the Dada movement in the Rio de la Plata, and such fragments contain oral layers in which the argumentative and reflexive vehemence is mingled with the choral howls while in dialogue with Rita, the little parrot.
Yeah, Rita, the parrot came into the
studio.
So she participates of the...
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. You know, Azar, the Azar, you know.
How do you say it?
The Azar? The Azar?
Yeah.
No, not the Azar. The Azar. I mean, the thing that comes... from anywhere, but it belongs to
Azar.
Azar.
¿Estás ahí?
El Azar.
El Azar. ¿Está por ahí?
This is the Azar Objetivo. It comes from Hegel, and André Breton make the concept Azar Objetivo.
Mm-hmm.
So we use the Azar Objetivo, that is the main Dada creative thing.
Does Dada transform in the mother tongue, the Spanish mother tongue? Does it transform and does it morph into something different?
I think Dada initiates this phonic, you know, universal sounds, these phonetic poems like Ball did, mm-hmm. you know. So we don't need to translate anything because it's, you know, it's sound. It's vocal sound. You know.
I was going to make a joke earlier when the... Well, I'll just make it now. When the piece came through, I was going to say, Jesse, I'm still waiting for the translation. Can there be a Dada translation of the Dada piece by the translator?
Yes, in some ways, because there's some things that Luis does that people... I'm not Luis's translator, but his translators have done, where you're doing phonic riffs, and the way you would move from what sounds almost like a word, and maybe it starts with a word in Spanish, and then it turns into almost a word that's playing with the same sounds,
mm-hmm.
the translators sometimes change that into something different in English, because you want it to seem like it's cascading sort of into absurdity or nothingness. So you have to start with something that sounds like a word in English, and then maybe go through a different set of vowel runs... and they would just be slightly different. So he has had different translators, and they all sort of take a different approach to it. But they didn't just say, "Oh, I'm just going to do this sound in English." Like we have lots of different sounds for all our vowels, you know, a and e, I, o, u, and in Spanish they're constant. And so you can do things in English that you couldn't in Spanish.
So sort of a hybrid translation, contextual homophonic.
Right.
They're playing
to try to get homophonic sounds that just sound. More fun or flow more naturally in English, just the way they do in Spanish.
Right, which is challenging, right? Because
yeah.
English is a bark; it's more of a bark than the.
Yeah, it has those Anglo-Saxon sounds in it. But those difficulties are why I'm not Luis's translator.
Luis is a difficult person. Do you consider yourself a difficult?
Difficult.
I'm just teasing. That smile.
Yeah,
no, I know. I'm just teasing you.
Well, yeah. We use about translation, you know, we got this Schwitter's poem, and we use literal translation and play with that, And we're also playing with the Google Translator.
Because you can take something in Spanish and bring it in English, and then take the English and put it backwards, and it doesn't.
Mrs. Google. Her. Google.
Wow, that's
a literal translation using the voice of Google, you know?
Yeah.
The only thing we did was to write down the poem in German, put the Google translator, and we make some sound difference because the Google translator reads too fast, so we just slow down the recording. And we're, you know, working on that trail.
Do you know the legend, it's a legend of the knife in the dictionary to pick the word, to find the word?
Yes.
It's bullshit.
Yeah.
There's no way that's really, because you if you read all the interviews with all the Dadas, they all say something different.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're like, no, it's... And you know the Saint Dada from Romania?
Yes.
There's like Saint Dada, this is where Charles from, is like, yeah, this Dada, there's a Saint Dada.
Yeah.
There's two Saint Dadas, actually. Two Saint Romanian Saint Dadas. But it's like they had to come up with a convenient explanation, so they just say, oh, we put the Laperouse dictionary, and we open it up, and bingo, there it is. And what's Dada in German? It's a hobby horse.
Sí, yo no sé qué pasó en Estados Unidos, pero en Latinoamérica el dadaísmo no fue entendido, quizás hasta ahora, y solamente fue tomado como una especie de negación, ¿no?, de la tradición, pero no fue entendido en su extraordinaria creatividad.
So in South America, Luis thinks that Dadaism wasn't really understood until now. Maybe that's true in the United States too. It was only understood as a sort of form of negativism, a sort of anti-art, and now there's a growing understanding
about the creativity.
The creativity, like, yeah, other deeper aspects of it.
Yes. Yeah. I think maybe in America it's not understood still.
All right.
I think that's what we're working toward. It may be some people, but I think that it's, like I said earlier, the visual aesthetic is taken and held up as the thing. But maybe when Dada did come to America, maybe that's part of the climate was different than European Dada.
Yeah.
Completely different.
Completely.
And when Dada moved from Zurich to Berlin, it changed too. It kept morphing and morphing and morphing and morphing. And Schwitters was never really a Dada.
Yeah.
He was a real Dada, but he was never accepted by the Dada. Just like the Fluxus book artist was never accepted by the, you know, it just happens, right? Like,
yeah,
they didn't like him because he looked weird. You know, they didn't. But that's really why they never made Schwitters an official member of the club, right?
Yo creo que ellos estaban haciendo un arte en el cual la el cruce de lenguajes artísticos, de disciplinas, era absolutamente nuevo y no podían ser recepcionados. A mí lo que me interesa es devolverle a Dada su arte vocal, su arte fónico. Creo que la interpretación del arte Dada como arte visual ya cumplió su ciclo y que lo que necesitamos es volver a darle voz a sus performances.
So what really interests Luis is that to bring back the vocalization, the performative aspect of Dada, that perhaps its visual art has reached its ultimate state and is passing away, and that we need to return to the idea of the vocal.
Yeah, I think we are working on that, you know, on that thing, on the voice and the performance, and you know, because I think actualmente lo que aún puede sorprender de Dada es su es la subversión de su poesía fónica. Ellos subvierten el lenguaje a través de la poesía fónica.
To open again the idea of this poetry of the voice, the phonic poetry.
The visual art statement I find very appropriate because, as I see it, Dada has reached, as far as the visual component, has reached its maximum state and death because it's been co-opted by advertising. The surrealist thing in the Old Spice commercials and the Dada thing going on, and you can see it. We can walk outside and look at an ad on a billboard, and we see Dada. Like it's like the ugliest face of the Dada. It's like a, it's you know what I'm saying? Like it's,
yeah, yeah,
I'm
saying
it's eaten it, and it's like throwing it up again. It's like
yeah,
it's this thing. It's this disgusting.
There's hay un tema de memoria. Y es que la memoria visual de Dada quedó registrada en todas sus revistas. Pero la memoria de sus performances vocales no quedó registro.
So the memory of its visual aspects, and you're talking too about it just being, you know, copied by a relentless machine of commercialism. But Luis is saying there's a memory of that, there's an awareness of that, but there's not a memory of the performance aspect of the vocals.
There were no recordings.
Because it was the soul, it was the people, it was the oral history, the performative history, the motions, the actions.
There were no recordings.
There were no recordings.
Of course,
yeah.
Exactly.
There were no recordings.
So,
it's not something to some
film. Lost memory.
Yeah.
Collective memory.
Yeah. It's in the oral stage. And we didn't have like a few recordings.
Nothing.
You know, few recordings.
Twitters.
There's twitters. There's some twitters recording. Yeah. So we don't have to reconstruct anything because we don't want to make archaeology about Dada. We have to take the spirit of the subversion of Dada and go on.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
You want to bring us out? You want to take us out with the... Please.
Don't. My best voice, my passion. 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 So you will be the complaint book of my post-consumption delight. When on the sidewalk, the street, men grow a mighty price. Yes, my love, count on your fingers, a fiesta of these cons. As I keep the side and the divine for him, loves the composing.
La voz telilla sonora de Lapa labra vocablos y respira. La voz de papá que resonó en el corazón de mamá. Love. La voz de mi más remoto origen. Lobos, boco loborto, oblogo o loboco, o brorso, un rodondo.
My passion,
para eso.
La voz por la boca muere como el pez. La voz nace en la boca como el poema. Tzara, 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 Dixit.
My best voice, my best voice.
La voz son... Dos son... Ni... Dos son... La voz errante, fonema aéreo.
A fiesta. A fiesta.
O clair de la luna. Yes, mon my love. Ami Pierrot.
Yes, my love.
O clair yes, de love. La luna.
Yes, my love.
Mon ami Pierrot.
Yes, my love. Yes, my love. Yes.
La voz del poema es escritura, yes, que encuentra su tono y nos habla, dice Lacan, y yes, aúlla su jauría.
Yes. Yes.
Y no era la voz de Tomás Alva Edison, 16 fonógrafos después, entonando... Mary had a little lamb, little lamb, little lamb. Mary had a little lamb, very little, little lamb.
My best voice, my passion. Dada.
That was fantastic.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was great. That was. Woo! Woo! Okay, we opened the door. I need a drink now.
Thank
I
you.
Need a drink now. All yeah, right. Cheers.
Cheers.
That was great. Yeah.
Guys,
that was a lot of fun. Yeah, that was really great. That was awesome.
The next 100 years of
that. That was beyond what I could even have imagined what we could have done in 35 minutes. So that was amazing.
What?
Yeah. 5 months.
Okay.